Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 115 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we are going to cover this week's nerd news. We'll begin in entertainment with a new weekly show by the creators of South Park, and we've got some video game news with the pushback of Cyberpunk, and then we'll move over into tech with the Section 230 hearing with the Google, Facebook, and Twitter CEOs. Some new ransomware threats targeting hospital systems, and then some drone and space news. There's much to get to. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds. Nerds!
All right, and let's get going on episode 115 of the Nerd Cantina Show here. And, I know it's November 1st at the time of recording this, so some big things coming up, big countdowns. You ready? Ready to count it down, Steve?
Yeah, I'm counting down the days till I get my Xbox One.
Xbox One, huh?
The Series X, whatever it's called.
whatever the naming convention for the random...
That's the one thing the PS fanboys got on us is, like, they couldn't just go with PlayStations 1 through 5. You know, we had to go Xbox 360. Like, all these, like, just give me an Xbox. Just call it an Xbox.
Yeah. It's whoever thought it was cute to name it Xbox 360. Because then from there, where the hell do you go?
Yeah, I know.
Like, whoever did that one is what ruined everything. So, Xbox naming. But no, in all seriousness, we're recording this on Monday, November 1st. This comes out on... Monday, November 2nd. And, this comes out on Wednesday. I don't know what's going to happen to the world. Maybe nobody listens to this. Maybe the internet's shut down. Maybe we're in full revolt. I don't know what's going to happen.
By next week, we might be recording in some Mad Max Thunderdome HUD.
But until then, we'll recap the news. So let's just jump into some entertainment talk and my absolute favorite piece of entertainment coming out of last week was Sassy Justice.
Oh my God, that thing was just too much to watch. It was just too much for me.
Like, so for anybody who missed it, you should absolutely go find it out on YouTube or wherever. The creators of South Park have created a show just solely off of deepfakes. Called Sassy Justice, which is really just following some flamboyant news reporter in, what was it, like Cheyenne, Wyoming, or I don't remember what random, like, middle America small town that it was pretending to be. And this one was really meta, and the deep fake news report about deep fakes. But man, like,
I don't understand how they get around getting sued now for this. Like,
I think they're testing the water. I think they've got
every episode has to say that, like, every celebrity likeness is not that celebrity. You know what I mean? They have that disclaimer in front of every South Park. Like, deepfakes is on a whole nother level of likeness.
they are testing the legislators to come and stop this, right? Like, in the end, they didn't deepfake at any point in time, and they didn't deepfake and have, you know, well, actually, they did deepfake Trump speaking for Trump.
Yes, they did.
So they absolutely just mimicked him playing himself. So that defeats, I was going to say, at no point in time did they use the people's likeness to play themselves. Nope, that's a lie. So they just did whatever they wanted.
They did, Like, and I just don't understand how, like, this is allowed, but, you know what I mean? But people get sued for far less. Like, how is deepfakes not the ultimate lawsuit coming out?
I mean, I feel like it's going to happen. But if you haven't seen it, you do need to see it.
I don't even want to give that much away because it's...
But the deepfakes are great.
Your jaw just drops, kind of like, is how good it is and how just absurd it is at the same time.
And they apparently made, like, a deep fake studio specifically optimized to do this. These are some of the best deep fakes you will see on the internet in a very just stupid way. But, you know, they even demonstrated with, like, the the voice actor who was pretending to be Michael Caine, demonstrating that like really a really good impersonator could absolutely like make bring these things to life in a whole new level. Or you could
That Michael Caine bit was something else.
Yeah. And same thing with who's, you know, they had the Sound of Music. What's her name? Is that Julie Andrews? Julie Andrews, dude, right?
Yeah.
And that's why I could be terribly wrong. But either way, like, I mean, that looked like, I mean, that was her in that scene. It's absolutely nuts, the quality. And honestly, let Trey Parker and these guys not get sued and lose terribly on this. And like, this is going to be the future of SNL, or the future of the competitor SNL or whatever else, where you just get really good voice impersonators and you do whatever the hell you want with people's faces. And that's your sketch comedy right there. Like, that's it.
I feel bad even like supporting this after the deepfake episode we did on how dangerous these deepfakes are and how like bad for society deepfakes are. I feel bad enjoying this. I really do.
I mean, I do too. I'm still gonna watch every episode.
I know. I feel so bad about watching it.
I'd like to see what they're trying to like. Are they just trying to be satirical and funny? Are they trying to just demonstrate how good this can be and force the hand of like legislators to actually like, okay, how do we actually legislate our way around this? How do we actually make this to where, you know, this is illegal, this is something that we can hold people accountable for? It's a completely new realm, and we don't have any mechanisms really to
it could adjudicate be both. This. It could be both.
So yeah, maybe they're just trying to be funny and they're just trying to illuminate. Like I said, I mean, this entire episode was about the threat of deepfakes while they were doing it in deepfake. So, you know, maybe they're being somewhat sincere in that, in that highlighting of the problems.
The Tom Cruise deepfake, though, was hilarious.
I mean, the whole thing was gold. So I definitely urge everybody to go and watch some Sassy Justice.
And it's, brush it's up on just, them deepfakes. Go listen to the good. Cantina Conversation. It's going to become more prevalent in your life. You're going to hear that term used a lot more over the next 3 years.
I mean, you really are, right? We talked about it, I think, about 2 months ago during the shutdowns of the pandemic, at the beginning of like the basketball finals, that there is, you know, deepfaked commercials that were like legitimate deepfake commercials. And then there's some like announcing that they're deepfake commercials, the ones with like Baker Mayfield and whatever else, where they've actually put their heads on other people's bodies. But there's a lot that they can do like legitimately through deepfake. And then there's the nefarious stuff, like what we covered in the Cantina Conversation with Adam Dodge about this being a way to victimize mostly women through non-consensual porn.
It's eventually going to hit to the point where you're going to need like certain European countries, if you photoshopped a picture, it has to have like a certain tag on the picture to show that it was photoshopped. Like there's going to be regulations passed in the next 5 years that state if something has been deepfaked, you have to like notify fine print that it's been deepfaked.
And that's one of the things that are being talked about to combat these is watermarks, is creating unique watermark type of identifiers that can be put on videos that'll be apparent if that video was doctored in any way, and that like reputable sources like news outlets and whatever else have their own unique watermarks, so that way you know where it came from, you know if it's somewhat reputable. That to me, like that's sure gonna probably stop some of them, but in the end, what people believe on YouTube and Facebook and stuff like that, like you think a watermark stopping this?
No.
Get the hell out of here.
No.
there's no turning back. It's going to be a pretty rapid turn from here to just complete skepticism of everything you see on the internet. So
I'm telling you, I saw John Cena kick that baby. I seen it. I seen it with my eyes.
Yeah, so we'll definitely we'll see where that goes, but these guys are putting out quality deepfakes and demonstrating the capability here and on what really can be done you know, pretty quickly. They're turning these things around pretty quickly. It's not like it's, you know, the Scorsese spent like 3 years making The Irishman or whatever else. What a YouTuber can do in 10 minutes online nowadays.
I honestly think South Park's just trying to force the government's hand at this point because it's just so blatant.
Yeah.
Like, they're just like, make what I'm doing illegal, please. Like, because if not, we're going to use these tools to just, man, savagely attack everybody that's ever been famous or done something stupid.
Yeah.
Until you make what we're doing wrong, then we'll just keep doing it.
Well, yeah, I guess we can move on from deepfakes here. Talk about actual, like, legitimate movies and shows and things that, you know, a Amazon argument that came out this last week covering the fact that the videos and things that you buy and, you know, insert air quotes into your own head or whatever else around the word buy, that you don't actually own that purchased content, that it's more of a, you know, it's a licensing agreement that Amazon can, you know, whether they lose the rights to it or for whatever reason it happens to be, in the end, Amazon really reserves the rights to it and they can end your access as the consumer to that content that you purchased. So this is what Amazon's argument is. They have been sued regarding this, and this is their continued argument that it is not a purchase necessarily or a buyer that represents ownership. It is the purchasing of a lease agreement or licensing agreement, and yeah, you don't have it. You don't own any rights.
And Dr. O kind of hinted towards this when we did the interview with him, when I was saying how can Amazon charge me the same price for a movie digitally as opposed to me buying the Blu-ray in a store where I actually get a physical copy that I can do whatever I want with. You're going to charge me the same amount of money to send ones and zeros. And he even said at that moment, you know, and that's just based on the licensing term and they want to revoke that. And I, you know, I thought when he said that like it was like a possibility, but it's like, nah, no one's going to be that big of a dick. Like the outrage that would come from somebody doing that would just be ginormous and not worth it. And to hear them just come out and be like, yep, no, that's what we're doing. Like, for real, that's like legit. That's how it's going to be. Is just, it's, man, it just pisses me off so bad.
It really does piss me off. And largely just because, like, you know, words mean things. And when you're going to slap a button on there to rent it for a certain price or buy it for another price, like there's nowhere in this world that the word buy doesn't equal ownership. So I think at this point, like the FTC, you know, the Federal Trade Commission or somebody should come in and say, hey, your language needs to be clear around this. Then the word buy equals ownership. You can't put anywhere on your options on your screen that somebody's going to click through on Amazon Prime or other Fire Stick or whatever it happens to be. They can't click the word buy. You can't have that as an option there. And like, at least maybe if you put like, hey, you can rent it for $2.99 or you can lease it for $4.99, people are going to think like, hold on, what the hell does lease my movie mean? And at least that question to consumers will come.
Yeah, this is bullshit. It's basically an extended indefinite rental.
Yeah.
You know, like that's essentially what they're saying you got. And I mean, is not having to get up and put in the disc really worth it at this point? You know, like if I have a disc, I could at least loan it to somebody else, you know, let them borrow my movie. They are starting to do a little bit more with that My Movies Anywhere app to where I can let somebody watch certain movies in my app, but I only get a few of those tickets a month to give out, and it's not even every movie I have. So it's still at a point where like you're paying the same amount of money but losing all kinds of like
and
benefits with it, you know. And like I said, all to just what, not have to get off my fat ass to watch it, like when I want to watch it. I don't know, man. I just,
yeah, it, and you don't have to go to the store and you don't have to save all these discs floating around your house. And I mean, there are benefits to digital ownership. And, you know, I think intuitively everybody kind of understands that, like, okay, if Amazon folds up, like whatever I bought from them is a wash, that's gone. You know, you buy stuff on your Xbox or whatever else, the Microsoft store. If Microsoft goes away one day, sorry about your luck. You just don't think that these companies, you know, while their relationship with you is enduring, that they have the ability to kind of hold those cards. We don't know under what terms they're going to end that lease with you or end that licensing agreement, or who really owns that licensing agreement, whether it's, you know, the production company or whatever else that can end that relationship with Amazon. We don't know what those are. So we're not making informed decisions as consumers. And that's really where this is the role of like the FTC. They're supposed to protect consumers from these things.
Yeah, I just, in it, so when you get tied into these companies too, like that, so not so much with like Amazon doing this, but it's the same thing we talk about with PlayStation and Xbox when you buy the games under your gamer tag. And now that they're going to be monitoring your chat, the more you buy from these companies, the more you're kind of like tethered to them financially. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now they have control over your speech. They have control. They're modifying your behavior because you have become pot committed, you know, in your relationship to them digitally. Like, it's a messed up scenario, man.
Yeah. No, it's definitely not. I'm pretty appalled by this whole situation here. And the only solution is honestly like regulation, or just don't buy things digitally. I mean, you know, I'm not buying anything digitally. So
yeah, like when it comes to flexing consumer power, you don't have a weapon. Like, you've never bought into anything. So like you have no stake in the game. No company is worried about losing
I'm always exercising my consumer power by making them earn my business. They just haven't done it yet. in the end, I think we covered this to some great depth here, but it's a frustrating issue here. We'll see if it goes away. We'll see if it gets legislated away or this lawsuit, which is still being heard right now, results in, you know, maybe some damages owed to individuals, which would force Amazon to either continue to pay damages to everybody or change their policies going forward.
Hopefully we get something out of it. You know, at least people are talking about it now. Like, we had covered it a while ago, but it wasn't on anybody's minds. At least somebody is taking it to court and bringing it to a head, and we'll see where it goes and where we have to pivot from there.
All right. And then I guess before we push out a entertainment movie and stuff like that, we can just, you know, it's a sad day. We lost a Sean Connery. We lost a James Bond. We lost Indy's dad. Yeah. Sean Connery passes away. So, nerds mourn your loss there.
Yeah, it's makes me feel really old. I grew up with a lot of Sean Connery.
Yeah. Yeah. He's definitely, for us 80s and 90s babies, you definitely grew up with Sean Connery movies and, you know, the housewives and their infatuation with him. That was definitely something.
I must have seen Hunt for October at least 1,000 times in my early years. That movie was on like every station all the time.
Yeah. Another sad 2020 loss here. But all right, let's move on to, not happier news. All right. And then in some gaming news, we've got some, yeah, disappointing news for some fans here that Cyberpunk 2077 was delayed once again. Now this time, making its delay out to December 8th or December 10th of 2020 here. So pushed back from November 19th to the December 10th.
Yeah, I think people are just gonna wait to see it on the shelf at this point. I don't think anybody's really holding their breath for this anymore and expecting it to be even come out. I think even the night before, everyone's just going to wait for an announcement.
Yeah, I'm really curious on what is the pushback this time. I think it's already set to where the multiplayer of it is not going to be released with the game or with its initial kind of release here in December. And then you've got, you know, this being the third delay, and I know this is probably them delaying it just enough to where they can hope to still get into some stockings and some Christmas buys. Although they're now going to miss the big sale windows and everything else in November. And I don't know if there's any way to look at this, like, optimistically, that this game is going to release and it's going to be done well. Like, this is them crunching to barely make the Christmas season. If you buy it on December 10th, just expect it to be...
Yeah, they had it down to where they were going to come out right as the next gen's released. So it could be that first game you buy for the new next gen consoles. And now they like you said, they're going to miss that Black Friday crowd. All the Christmas shopping might already be done.
Black Friday crowd is a weird term to use at this point in time.
Yeah, that's going to be this year.
But yeah, no, all I could think is that somewhere out there, Keanu's just saying, like, I put my name on this shit. Like, you guys put it the fuck together.
Gave you guys my likeness for this. What the fuck?
Yeah, it's, I don't know, sad delay for them. And either way, whatever. I'm not buying it, but I know many will. Hopefully this is just like some minor bugs that they need to clear up and not some game that they're going to release and they're immediately going to have to start patching and fixing because it's not ready.
Oh, it's going to have to be patched and it's going to have to be fixed. It's just the MO. It's the way people do things nowadays. You're never going to get a nice finely tuned game. Like, I think game developers now are just a little bit spoiled because they don't have to push out that Nintendo 64 cartridge that's just stuck perpetually like that for eternity. You know, so like ever since the days of patching have started, like they all just kind of phone it in. Like there was a day where you had to put that bitch in a cartridge and it's like that forever. Yeah. Forever.
Well, we can move out of video game and entertainment here and let's push into some tech. And the first big event that took place, which was big in like what I anticipated and expected. And then in the end, you ended up hearing nothing about it. And that was the Section 230 hearings where the Google, Facebook, and Twitter CEOs were called to Senate. We've been talking about other issues, and we just kept leaning into the fact that, hey, on October 29th, there's going to be another hearing. There's going to be another hearing. As we've talked about antitrust, we talked about, okay, well, they're also going to answer about Section 230. And then in the end, the hearing happened on October 29th, and nobody talked about it. Like, it's a week before the election, and nothing happened in this hearing. Did you watch any of it or watch any recaps of it?
I mean, yeah, I watched a few recaps, and it's such a waste of time.
This one particularly, like Section 230, it can be debated and potentially modernized. I don't want it to see it go away or whatever else. And with Section 230 being the piece of legislation back from the 90s, you know, talking about like AOL days, where, you know, it's what distinguishes these online platforms as not publishers, where, you know, various information and, you know, freedom of speech that can exist there on the platforms without holding them as publishers that they have to kind of have editorial rights over what is published. It's important towards free speech on the internet. While there is a lot of misinformation and damaging shit that comes out of the internet, at the same point, if you strip away Section 230 and you make Facebook, Google, Twitter responsible for the actual things everybody says, I think that ends everybody's ability to express their opinions at all on the internet in these social platforms. So you can't get rid of it. Maybe modernizing it, maybe making things a little more clear. Sure, the government should have a questioning of Section 230. This was just a partisan shit show.
Well, I think a lot of this might have to do with just like, I think all these politicians want big tech to know that they're coming to shake that money tree. Like, hey guys, we could really fuck with your business. Like, you know, it's like the old mafia days, and it's like, you know, you got a nice ice cream shop here. Be really sad if something happened to it, wouldn't it? These politicians, they don't know what the hell's going on. They just know, like, y'all got a bunch of money and power. We want some of that. We'll start fucking up your shit if you don't give it to us. So just donate to this campaign fund now.
I mean, I think, you know, some of that is just blatant threats. This one was, you know, just an awkward hearing less than 5 days from an election, just so predominantly the Republican side can just throw out all kinds of just allegations of censorship, and yeah, they were really just fighting for their little clips that they can get on there to, you know, the Hunter Biden emails, all the other things that are going on. And again, there's questions to be had towards these industries about the way they control the flow of information. This was completely unproductive and it served very little purpose.
It's sad because again, the longer we take to do anything about this, the worse this problem gets, and the harder it is to stop that train that has just gone way off the tracks. Now, you know, hopefully after the election's over, we can maybe get some people that actually can focus in on getting some stuff done, because we won't have another one for 15 minutes.
Well, the main points I took out of this was, first, somebody might not want to go do a health check on Jack Dorsey. that dude looks
wellness
rough.
Check.
And man, like, it's just funny, even like the clips, like leaning into it from wherever you watched it, you would have the images, the professional pictures of all the CEOs, and be like, and today we're going to hear from Jack Dorsey or whatever else. And like the image of Jack Dorsey with the nicely, neatly trimmed goatee from, like, I think it was like 3 months ago. And now he's full like ZZ Top beard that is off camera. You can't see the bottom of this damn beard anymore. And he just looks like a mess. And yeah, I'm concerned. I think the stress has gotten to him. And he looked bad and completely shook by the questioning there.
Nothing he can do will ever satisfy anybody. So
no, yeah.
And you just, when you're sitting on a pile of money like that and you can't win, you know, you just
donate.
You go full Lebowski. You just go full Lebowski.
And then the other superficial takeaway I took from it was that I think Sassy Justice had a better representation of Mark Zuckerberg than that. Like, that dude is a walking deepfake. Like, if look at him on camera, there is no way you could tell that is actually him on camera right now. That guy is a flat out robot. That it looks as though he didn't actually show up. And he's just got
Facebook
some staffer sitting there.
Has
deepfaking
perfected
him.
He's a life model decoy. He's an LMD. Yeah. So he is a full LMD. He's actually in the Poconos somewhere in a resort, and he just sends out all these fake Zucks to just deal with shit. Yeah.
Like, yeah. No. You watch the video cuts from like Jack Dorsey to him, and then it's like all of a sudden it's like a Jack Dorsey's in some grainy, garbagey video quality. Looks like he hasn't showered in a really long time, and then it cuts to Duck, and it's like an HD quality camera, but like he's not moving. He's talking, but there's zero expression. There's nothing. It just looks fake.
Well, because he's got that Facebook chat to sell. he needs that nice clear picture, because he's trying to get everybody to buy them shitty Facebook tablets to put in their house so they could make Zoom calls to each other. Dorsey ain't got no skin in that game. He don't give a shit. He's just growing a beard, giving everybody's debit cards boosts.
All right, well, Section 230 was largely a waste of time, or the hearing was a waste of time. Maybe the next time they wrangle in all the CEOs and techs, maybe we'll actually have intelligent legislators talk about real issues.
Yeah, I mean, at least it's still in play. At least this isn't something we're trying to pass. This is something they're trying to dismantle. So the longer they take to dismantle it, the better.
Yeah, and because of its lack of productivity, like, there's zero legislation or even recommendations of legislation came out of it. So, like, all right.
Governance going governance.
All right, then we can move and get through a couple last topics here. And we talked about this weeks ago, and the FBI and the cyber security task force or whatever exists to manage these things made announcements over the weekend that there were significant threats and targeted hospitals being targeted in massive waves of ransomware attacks. And this wasn't some like minor thing that just, I mean, the FBI did tweet about it, but it really wasn't just like, hey, a tweet that should be ignored. Like, this was actually a really large scale attack on our hospital systems.
Yeah, that's a lot of sensitive information too. Like, when you think about the the amount of personal information your hospitals have stored in their computer files that they share around. I can't imagine that giving that to anybody bad is gonna be any good for your life whatsoever. It's bad enough, like you have a what is Social Security, a 9-digit number that if anybody gets, it's just like it ruins your day. And it's like, then you take that, add in like blood type, fucking, yeah.
Yeah,
the amount of extortion I can imagine that could happen from medical files would be staggering.
And this one is, you know, while they were able to target certain health records or whatever else through the systems, it was more about crippling the systems itself. And some of these hospitals were reporting that they were like targeted and defending against in single days, like 9 different massive scale attacks. You know, one in trying to see what the state was, but in the end, you know, said that they identified 6 attacks into their system in a single day, which means that they know there were many more. And this was happening across multiple states, multiple hospital systems, all taking place on the same day, and being able to lock them out of their systems. So it's not just a matter that they're getting access to health records. There were hospitals having to divert patients to other hospitals because they couldn't access what they needed to within their systems in order to administer medicine. So we started to see a bottleneck effect of hospitals that were affected by this not being able to perform health. And this was relatively probably, you can call it, unsuccessful attack by the cyber criminals, in the sense that it didn't completely shut down these systems. It didn't actually effectively shut down or destroy anything that they were going after. Just a couple of the hospitals were affected. But realistically, like, this could have devastating effects. Like, if they can continue to probe these things and they eventually find that exploit that they need, this could cause some significant health implications.
Yeah, and I think us coming from, like, a large metropolitan area, you kind of take hospitals for granted. Like, there are a lot of communities where they only have one one local hospital, you know what I mean? So that goes down, it really throws a monkey wrench in your life.
Yeah, one of the infrastructure attacks that we should be worried about. We don't look at necessarily hospitals as parts of infrastructure, where those are capitalistic endeavors and private businesses that run these hospitals and everything else. But in the end, they're as important to our society as the infrastructure systems that we're always worried about, whether it, you know, be power plants and, you know, all these other issues that we talk about and we dream about in all these movies or whatever else, about getting shut down by hackers and cyber criminals. But the health system is something that we definitely want to protect. So the FBI definitely was on top of this one, informing the public about this one. And I'm sure we'll hear more about it in the weeks to come as far as how successful they were and what the actual volume of attacks took place.
But don't worry, they gave a couple thousand to charity, so it's all right. Dickheads.
And then we can jump over to some tech and automation. And this was an article on a fruit picking drone. I don't think we've talked about one of these yet. We've talked a lot about automation. We've talked a lot about different different drone companies and different things. And this one is a fruit picking drone. It's literally a flat quadcopter type drone with a 1 meter long arm that can use AI driven tools to detect when a piece of fruit is ripe enough to pick off the tree. It can also prune and maintain the trees, and then pick the fruit. So that way humans don't have to bother.
Yeah, some egghead seen all the fights about immigration and said, I'm going to circumvent this and make a pretty penny. And, you know, like...
That was one of the first things that I thought of, was this is a Israeli company making these drones. The first thing I thought of is these fucking immigrant drones coming and taking American jobs.
They're not even coming to take the American jobs. There's a bunch of migrants right now that are going to be mad than a motherfucker. Bunch of migrants. You know, and that's what everybody says, is like, they're not taking your jobs. We're taking the jobs that you don't want to do. And it's like, now robots taking the jobs of the people that do the jobs that nobody wants to do. Like, if you don't think a robot's going to come do what you do, you are fucking sadly mistaken. You're taking everybody's jobs.
I think looking at these things and hearing the technology that's in them, whether, you know, from just the drone flying capacity and then, you know, the sensors that they have on them and everything else. I mean, it's really cool. A system, an idea. You know,
tell that to the dude that trekked 3,000 miles from El Salvador to pick your fucking strawberries, pal. And he comes and sees a bunch of fucking swarming ass, like, drone hornet hives, like, just flying around picking berries. ¿Qué pasó? dude's gonna be fucking pissed, bro. He's gonna be pissed.
Yeah, well, either way, this company's raised $20 million to start producing. They've already got orders, and they're, you know, they claim that they have the potential of like $3 billion in annual sales once they get to full production. But they've got plenty of orders. They now have the money to start building these things, and they believe they're going to start, you know, actually shipping these out here very soon. So these may be coming to a European and United States, you know, orchard nearby.
$50 in 2 years, you're going to see a bunch of tan people throwing rocks at drones on CNN. $50. I promise you. I'm Nerd Sardamus in this right now. The uprising will start in the migrant fields.
I think the uprising will be actual truckers running off automated trucks off the road.
I don't know, man. I think these little drones are way further along than automated driving right now.
All right. And then, it's our last topic here regarding some space news, and that was that the NASA, there was a NASA telescope that now claims that they've uncovered definitive evidence that there is water on the surface of the moon.
Yeah, like, I'm wondering, like, what kind of tests they needed to do to prove it now. We've brought back moon. Like, we got moon on Earth. Like, we have some of it here. You couldn't find water in it? Like, how'd you find water now? Like, that's kind of what piques my curiosity about this story most.
So the actual tests were UV and IR sensors that they were able to do. There's a cool telescope that they put on a 747 plane that they fly it above the vast majority of the atmosphere of the Earth. So they're able to capture certain images of the moon without the water molecules and the humidity and all the kind of the noise from Earth. They're able to fly this telescope, capture these images from a flying 747, bypassing the vast majority of the atmospherics that interfere with our ability to detect it. So then those sensors were able to take new images of the moon, cleaner images down to like the molecular scans that they were able to do through detections of UV light, as well as various like IR sensing, and they were able to clearly state that the readings that they got, while surprising, it was more water than they thought they would ever find. While surprising, they did say it was definitive that there is no other signature other than water that it could be.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just shocked that they never found any in the scoops that Neil brought back.
What scoops?
It was, you a know, studio. They took
a studio.
Scoops. They too.
I heard it on Facebook.
Buzz will punch you in the mouth if you say that.
Yeah, no. I mean, not everywhere on the moon is determined to have it. They're really looking at areas on the poles, which are furthest from the direct heat of the sun. That's the primary area that they're looking to scan, is over on the poles of the moon. That's not where, you know. In the end, it's not like they went running all over the surface of the moon. They were limited, confined to a narrow part. So I
don't know. I just, it doesn't surprise me that other places would have water. Other places would have the things that we have. It's space. You'd think we would have a lot in common with other things. The things that I want to know is, like, what does the moon have that we don't have? I'm more interested in the things that we don't have on our planet that other asteroids and planets are carrying. Because you figure, you know, like, all right, you got some carbon. You got, like, there's going to be some key elements found everywhere. We're all rocks in space.
Yeah. And, you know, or, you know, you gotta look into, you know, the money that could come from some of these things in space, like space mining. There was an asteroid that was detected just this last week that was worth, they estimated the value of this asteroid being, it was like $10,000 gazillion. It exceeded all of the value of everything.
Now you're just making stuff up.
Somebody's making stuff up. I'm repeating these things. No, it was determined that this there's an asteroid that is being determined. Vast majority of the asteroids found are just really balls of ice and rock, but nothing all that substantial. Very few of them have like significant metals in it. And they found an asteroid that was pretty much all metal. Based off of what they were able to scan and test on it, it was worth... I'm trying to remember what type of metal it is. Now I'm trying to look up the article because I didn't actually put it on here. But it was some level of like nickel that like exceeds the total quantity of metals on Earth. That if it could be mined and brought back here to Earth, it would have a value of... you know, $10,000 gazillion based off of today's value. And I've heard different studies that talked about that there are precious metals and precious, you know, gems and items that exist on certain asteroids that if we were able to go like mine them and bring them back to Earth, it would completely throw off our value of everything. Because yeah. All of a sudden these precious metals would not be that precious anymore. They would actually be pretty prevalent.
And it takes one asteroid to tank the platinum market,
and that's exactly what some of these things have stated. So it's an interesting concept. In the end, we'll see. It's definitely in the future, like somewhere in the future.
For the vibranium to hit,
it might be I don't know, 200 years from now or whatever else before we start really like mining space resources and asteroids. But those days are coming, like somewhere in the future, those days are coming.
Someone's children, your grandchildren are going to be doing that shiz.
Yeah. See, it's 10 quintillion. I think I said like gazillion. I don't know what these things are.
So like, I don't know why you saying made up words to me. Like I have some kind of context to put that in. Give me it in how many Bezos. How many Bezoses is that? Are we talking 50 Bezoses?
I think it comes out to 10 billion billions is what it is.
You're just speaking in tongues to me now. I don't know what that is. I don't have any context for that.
Either way, I don't know. Space is an interesting place. We'll see what will be found out there in the end. Nothing significant is getting brought back to Earth while I'm alive, I don't think. I don't think.
No, we might get hit with something by chance, but I don't think we're going to reach out and grab it.
No, yeah. And now I'm just going off the cuff with the other space news that I read this week that I didn't even share with you. when we go with like Elon Musk talked about like the Mars colonies and the 50 million people that he wants to put on Mars by 2050, he made a statement this week that they absolutely will not fall under United States or the Earth laws that they will be. And it's like, he's not
is
wrong.
Is he going full Waco on us with Mars?
I think he is. I think like, he's just setting up for, you know, he's renaming.
Fucking Elon's going to be Mars Jesus. And he's going to go out. He's going to have like eight Martian wives, like whatever,
yeah.
Elon.
Yeah, go for it. But that's not real space news there, but still just, I find it entertaining that he's already thought this through on what the legislation is going to look like on Mars. And they're not going to give any fucks about what's going on here.
Yeah, he doesn't understand a little bit about human nature. And if he doesn't, they can land on Mars with the greatest of intentions. 6 months in, that shit's Lord of the Flies. I promise you that.
Well, all right. Well, that's a week in news. And well, as always, thanks.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
hopefully, 4 or 5 people listen to this on Wednesday, and they're not shut in or, you know, whatever side you're on, you have the potential to be deeply disappointed and angry come Wednesday.
Some of y'all going to be mad. Some of y'all going to be happy. I'm hoping we could just all get through it together.
Yeah. So hopefully you're finding yourself on post-election in good spirits.
So as you're listening to this, whoever your president is or isn't,
yeah,
keep tuning in for the nerd news.
Yep. And Join us over at thenerdcantina.com/community and give us a rating, review, share, subscribe, do whatever you can. That it all helps us out. We appreciate it.
Yeah. And we'll see you guys next week.
Talk to you later, nerds.
See ya.